What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And then this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, it's Friday, so happy Friday to everyone. And it also means that it's Fan Mail Friday today as well, so we're going to get into the fan voicemails. We have some more good questions and some more just good rants about the Chargers, so I guess we don't have to only play questions. We'll just play some rants as well. But we will get into that in the second segment, but first we have to start with the huge news of the day because Russell Okung returned to practice on Thursday, and there are some reports out there from Ian Rappaport that he's going to potentially play this weekend. So that's huge news on the Russell Okung front, especially after not getting much news on Wednesday when we thought we would get an update. And then also Travis Benjamin, the wide receiver, goes to injured reserve. So he's done for the season. And then we'll wrap the show up as we always do with our game predictions and our bold predictions. So a lot to get into today. Let's go ahead and get started. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The Chargers received some huge news on Thursday when Russell Okung returned to practice after missing the first 6 weeks of the season after suffering a pulmonary embolism in the offseason. He will practice today. He came out with a statement and said he's excited to put it all behind him and get back on the field. And Ian Rappaport is reporting that he's expected to play this weekend, which would be a huge boost to the Chargers' offensive line. There's also some not-so-good news as well for the Chargers because Travis Benjamin, the Chargers' starting number three receiver, is going to injured reserve. He is done for the season. So that is also some news that we'll have to talk about as well. But David, we do have to talk first, of course, about Russell Okung. What a huge addition back to the Chargers, especially if he is going to play. He has 21 days to be moved to the active roster. I think they'll wait until they have to put him there as far as having to cut someone else on the team to make room for him. But that's huge news. And some other good news for Russell Okung is that the Chargers restructured his contract so that all of the money he would have missed on the non-football illness list will come back to him, and he will now make the full $13 million on his contract, David. So the Chargers made good by Russell Okung, and they had to because they have to be so excited to have him back.
I mean, you couldn't be more excited to have, you know, to get an all-pro left tackle back, you know, obviously at a position where they have not seen the greatest of production. An undrafted free agent, Trent Scott, has done his best, but frankly, it just has not been good enough. So anytime you can get an all-pro left tackle back to help protect your 37-year-old quarterback's blind side, it's absolutely a day to be very excited. Now, we don't know exactly when he's going to come back. I don't know if he is going to play on Sunday. If he does, that's great. But just the fact that he is back at practice, put that really scary health situation behind him, are all very positive signs that he can help make meaningful contributions to this team going forward.
And make meaningful contributions this season, which is something that was in doubt with Russell Okung. We weren't sure whether he would be able to come back at all. So whether or not he plays this weekend is obviously huge for whether the Chargers will have more success this weekend. But just in general, having him back with the team, having him practicing and looking like he is going to come back this season is great news for the Chargers. And then on the other side, you have Travis Benjamin, who was placed on injured reserve after missing a couple of games already this season. Now the Chargers finally put him on the shelf. And as much as you hate to see a player like this go down in Travis Benjamin, the Chargers were not good when Travis Benjamin was the target of Phillip Rivers. He has really struggled this year, and now another receiver is going to have to step up. And the Chargers don't have a speed threat like Travis Benjamin, which is what they used him for as a decoy to open up other players on the offense. But they do have some capable receivers behind him, and I'm excited mostly to see Andre Patton, who is a full participant in practice this week after missing the last couple of weeks with an injury. And the other guy is Jason Moore, who had two catches for 43 yards, including a long bomb from Phillip Rivers in the last game. David, with this injury, of course, you hate to see the Chargers lose another player on offense, but it will be exciting to see what some of these young guys can do and see if they can be more productive than what Travis Benjamin was doing in his snaps.
Yeah, now I think with this move, Daniel, it's probably going to mark the end of Travis Benjamin's tenure as a Charger. It just, you can't afford to pay a decoy $6 million. It's a gross overpayment for the contributions that he has not really given you on offense. So yeah, another opportunity for a guy like Andre Patton and, of course, Jason Moore to show their value, to try to carve out a role for themselves on this team and try to earn themselves some money. So this is a big opportunity for them. Let's see what they do with that great opportunity.
And after having a season of a lot of criticism on him, Travis Benjamin only had 12 receptions last year. And now this year, with his season ending because of this injury, only ends his year with 6 catches for 30 yards when you thought he would be more productive with the absence of Tyrell Williams, and it just never turned into production for Travis Benjamin. The Chargers, in making this move, also brought back T.Y. McGill, who spent time with them in the preseason and actually looked really good in the preseason. And David, the Chargers' interior of the defensive line has not been great at stopping the run this year. It is exciting to see T.Y. McGill get another shot with the team.
It's good to see a guy who showed some flashes in the preseason come back and hopefully add some positive things to that interior defensive line rotation.
He's the guy that made a late push in the preseason and a guy that I thought would eventually end up making the active roster over maybe a player like Damian Square. So the Chargers need some help and they need somebody that's going to make some plays on the interior of that defensive line. And with Justin Jones not practicing so far this week, it's going to be a big addition because this group might be very shallow going up against the Titans. But we do have 2 more segments to get into. We do have to get into these fan voicemails coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you guys are betting this season on football, then I have the best place to do it. And I have a place that's going to give you free money to bet on these games. And that is MyBookie. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you can make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge at MyBookie? They want to make your dream come true this season. Between football season, the MLB playoffs, and the start of the NBA and NHL, this is the best time to get in on the action. And MyBookie will actually give you money to do it, because right now they will actually double your first deposit when you join with MyBookie today and enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word. If you put in $100, they will give you an extra $100 and double your cash, and you can be betting on the games this weekend. So all you guys got to do is go to MyBookie.ag today and enter that promo code LOCKEDON so you guys can go win some money this weekend. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, time to get into a segment we've been doing the last couple of weeks, and a segment I really like to do, especially in a season like this where the Chargers have just been so dreadful and lost so many games in such a ridiculous fashion, giving the fans a platform to kind of vent about how these games have gone so far. So we're going to be doing some Locked On Chargers voicemail calls. If you guys want to be on the next show that we do fan voicemails, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. After watching the game this weekend, you guys want to give your thoughts on it, make sure to call in to the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. So we have 4 calls today we're going to get into, but we're going to start with a returning caller, Lam Locke, who's good friends with John Kegley, and they met because of the show. So let's hear what Lam Locke has to say. He's usually making some pretty good points. Let's see what he brings for us this week.
Hey, guys, your boy Lam Locke, once again, support Drum, originally from San Diego. And another question for John Kegley, but I got 2 questions to go. First one, is Melvin Gordon single-handedly destroyed the Chargers offense? Because, like, once he came in, the run game just would not make any sense. This guy has the worst vision I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't know what's going on with him. And John Kegley, I got a good question for you. Let's say the Chargers, like, keep charging it on and not make the playoffs, and it's the end of the season. You got one person to get out. Gus Bradley, Ken Wilson-Hunt, or Coach Flynn. You got to pick one and explain why. And that's all about that. That's about it right there. So let's see what happens next week at the Titans. Go Chargers.
All right, John. Well, you have been called out to make a decision. I'm pretty sure what Lam Locke is asking there is who we would keep among those coaches. But the other part I want to get to first is just what the Chargers offense has looked like since Melvin Gordon has come back. I understand what Melvin Gordon is saying about, you know, needing more carries to get into a rhythm and see the defense again. But so far in the 2 games that he's played, the Chargers rushing offense has looked as bad as it ever has. and he's played two of the worst games he's played as a professional. So right now, Melvin Gordon is not an addition to this offense. He's been a subtraction so far, hasn't really gotten anything going in the receiving game either, which has been his calling card. Austin Eckler is much better in those situations. So I agree. I don't want to really force feed Melvin Gordon and try to force him into a rhythm this week. I think the Chargers have to put the best offense out there and keep the guys on the field that are working. And, you know, maybe that goes with John and picking up the tempo as well. But John, if you have to get rid of one of those three coaches, the offensive coordinator, Ken Wisenhunt, defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, or head coach Anthony Lynn, and you only get one, who are you getting rid of and why?
Nice to know I have a fangirl that calls in for me. This is nice. But If I have to choose one, I'm going to go with Ken Wisenhunt. And the reason for it is his offense is absolutely predictable. All of his plays seem to be the same exact play, the same exact meaning of the play. It's either throw to the running back in a swing route or hit Keenan Allen short. Like, there's no aggressiveness to this offense. And he doesn't switch anything up. Could that be Anthony Lynn as well? Sure. But I think if you could give Anthony Lynn a more aggressive offensive coordinator, I think it becomes easier to move the ball and it makes Anthony Lynn look a lot better. If it wasn't Ken Wisenhunt, I'd go Gus Bradley just because I feel like the defense isn't, this is basically the same thing. It's not aggressive play calling. It's the bend, don't break defense. And eventually that's going to come back to bite you if you don't have an offense. If the offense is struggling, that means the defense needs to dial up some blitzes or something and get off the field quicker. Whereas if the offense is moving the ball just fine, your defense is rested, go ahead, play that bend, don't break defense. But again, Gus Bradley is not adjusting either. But between the two, I'm going Wisenhunt, and I'd give Anthony Lynn one more chance with a new coordinator.
Yeah, I like that. I think that Anthony Lynn hasn't brought much to the Chargers as far as his prowess of being a running backs coach and getting the running game going. We saw Melvin Gordon do much better last season, but as far as the two identities of the offense, it seems like Ken Wisenhunt and Anthony Lynn want two different things from the offense. And if you look at Phillip Rivers and the body language that he has on the field, I mean, some of these plays, you see him go up there, run a play, it looks like he knew wasn't going to work, and then look off to the sideline pissed off. So I think that there's definitely some conflicts there as far as what this team wants to be on the football field. I mean, do they want to be a running team? Do they want to be a shootout team where they're just throwing the ball up and down the field? They haven't given us any consistency yet on what type of offense they want to be. And what we've seen from that is the Chargers not executing in the red zone, the Chargers stalling out drives after 3 to 4 plays. And it just hasn't worked so far. And they've been one of the worst offensive teams in football, especially over the last few weeks. And especially before, you know, the games have been out of reach, which is the only time the Chargers put up points offensively against the Broncos, really. So it's been really tough to watch. I think if you had to go one, I would like to see a new voice in there offensively, because you don't have an offensive minded head coach. You need to bring in someone who can change things up a little bit. I would agree with that. But we do have another voicemail here from Brian talking about the Jalen Ramsey trade, asking what trade we would like to make. Let's hear what Brian has to say.
Hey guys, this is Brian from West Monster, California. I know I always wanted to say that. It sounds cooler. But I just was listening to ESPN Radio, and I heard that the Rams and some other teams were making moves with the trade deadline close by. Jalen Ramsey going to the Rams. I know it's kind of our track record to not really do things that look smart or sound smart, you know, at the trade deadline about getting pieces that we think, you know, could help our season. But if you guys were the GM and Telasco was tabled for the moment and you guys had all the power, what are some moves that you could see happening that could possibly really help us turn this thing around this season or even in the future? Thanks a lot, and go Bolts.
All right. Well, Brian, first I will say that you're probably right that it does go against what the Chargers really do. And I can really back that up, because Tom Telesco has never actually sent more than a 7th-round pick to acquire a player. He did a little bit more in the Melvin Gordon trade, trading up for him. But as far as the Chargers going out and acquiring a player on another team, it's Sean Lissamore and it's Cardale Jones as far as the additions he's brought in from trades. And those have both been 7th-round picks. Either a 7th-round pick or a 7th-round conditional pick. So the Chargers never really make moves like this. It's funny that you keep seeing them in the running for these players, and you're just like, where is that going to come from? As far as making a trade themselves, David, I know you have somebody in mind that you'd love to see on the Chargers. But for me, as far as the trade deadline, it's still a little bit far away. It's on October 29th, so there's still some time. I think we will see some names pop up that might be on the trade block from some struggling teams, especially after this weekend, if they think their season's over. That's when you start making the phone calls. But I definitely have some positions I would like them to target. But as far as players, it's hard to really know what's available right now on the market, David.
Yeah, you definitely don't know, but a name that, you know, has been out there and everybody's kind of heard of and who has been very disgruntled and has been holding out from the Redskins is their left tackle, Trent Williams. So obviously, you know, we got some good news on Russell Okung. Still don't know when he's going to play, but if I'm the general manager of the Chargers, I'm saying, hey, you know, come over here. Let's get you over here with the Chargers. Let's try to convince one of these guys to play right tackle. And when you do that, you say, hey, we got a future Hall of Fame quarterback who just needs time. You guys can provide that for him. And you can give yourself and this team the best opportunity to try to make a playoff run and get out of this hole that they have, you know, dug themselves into. That's the move I'm looking at. Obviously, you know, we all know that Tom Telesco hasn't made the necessary moves to upgrade that offensive line. So if I have that opportunity, that's the first thing I'm trying to do.
And if I'm Tom Telesco, I'm doing whatever I can to get away from that tag of me never making the big move to improve the team. I mean, never sending away more than a seventh round pick. I understand how much he values those draft assets. But right now, the Chargers are in a time where they're going to have a lot of good young players on this team that are going to have to get paid. And they're right now on rookie contracts. They're not going to be able to keep the band together forever. So you would like to see them be more aggressive. And offensive line is definitely one of the spots I would try to bring in an upgrade at. I would try to potentially bring in some safety help. I mean, I know you have two guys coming back, but if there's some aging veteran who's losing time to a young draft pick or something like that, that can be a band-aid until you can get guys like Adrian Phillips back or Derwin James back, more importantly. So there are definitely some trades I would like to see, but as far as the Chargers going out there and doing it, I would lean more towards them doing what they've done in the past, a really late round pick if they do anything at all, which I think is somewhat unlikely. But we do have another voicemail here from Pat. Really not a question. It's basically just ranting about how bad the Chargers have been the last couple of weeks. But hey, we will give you some time for that because the Chargers pretty much really deserve it in this case.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Pat again. Man, frustrating loss. I just don't get it out there, man. First part of the season, our issue was starting fast and finishing slow. Always letting teams come back. Indianapolis came back close, made it a close game, went to overtime. Luckily, got a win. Detroit dominated the whole game. Didn't put up the points that as far as dominating the game showed. They end up coming back, winning that game. Houston, I was at that game. Up 17-7 at halftime, end up losing. It's frustrating that all of a sudden I think they started focusing more on finishing strong, which now obviously shows that we're not starting strong anymore because we're putting ourselves in a hole these last two games. 17-0, 24-0 trying to come back. Unheard of, man. Frustrating right now. I mean, I'm 8-7 no matter what. And this is tough to watch knowing that seriously should be 6-0 right now. And I'm not even lying. Our offensive line, trash, just trash, all of them. We just need to get a whole new offensive line. I think that's all our offensive pieces are back. Melvin Gordon, I don't know what's going on with him. He needs to get it going, or they need to go back to Austin Eckler as he's trying to find his way again. Every other piece we have from last year is there, our key components, minus Tyrell, but Mike Williams had a big year last year. All our pieces. Hunter Henry just came back. Offensive line is the only issue we are having with our offense right now. And I think it's because we had two veteran Pro Bowl players last year to kind of help these young guys in Mike Clemson and Russell Okung. Obviously, Mike Clemson's out for the year. Russell Okung, don't know what's going on with him. You know, I mean, we do know what's going on, but don't know when he's coming back. It's time, favor. Offense, we just got to get it going. I think the way we played, trying to score the ball, like a four-minute offense towards the end of the game against Pittsburgh, that's what we need to do. Forget all this trying to run and get Melvin Gordon. Pass the ball. Pass the ball, throw, dump the ball off. Let them have to drop everybody before we start running the ball. Because every time we run the ball, they're stacking the box. Like eight defenders. I don't understand why they don't. He checks out of everything, but he still checks into a run.
All right. Well, like I said, I mean, not much of a question in that voicemail. I think you might have got cut off because it was such a long voicemail. But we appreciate it no less. We appreciate all the time that people spend calling into this show, and I understand where you're coming from, especially when it's revolving around the Chargers' slow starts, which is something we've been harping on, John, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't still need to get fixed. Having the games you've had offensively and defensively the last 2 weeks has been really, really bad, and the Chargers need to switch something up. And Anthony Lynn actually said in a press conference today that it's not the plays that are the problem. They're running the plays they've always run, and the players and the coaches just aren't executing and getting the players in the right position. So, John, maybe running the same plays is part of the problem.
It absolutely is part of the problem. It's what I've been harping on this podcast forever, saying we run a predictable offense. If they know the play's coming, they're going to stop it, especially if you play against players that used to be on your team, like Jahlil Adai. He knows what you do. He knows your weaknesses, and you didn't do anything different against the Texans, and yep, there you are, predictable offense, no changes. It's going to kill us the whole year unless we become creative. This is why I was saying earlier that Wisenhunt would be the guy to go. We don't have a creativity in this offense, and the fact that Lynn is sticking up for it is even worse. That's your leader. That is the guy who is supposed to be the head of the whole team. Even though Rivers is the leader, Lynn is head of the whole team, and he is sticking up for these offensive calls. You got to switch it up. You got to be more aggressive. You got to come up with something that nobody's seen yet on film. You're supposed to have a bunch of different plays and styles of calling those plays. Feels like Anthony Lynn was playing Madden and was like, hey, you know, these seven plays work. It got me a win. Let's see if we can do it again. Hey, there's another win. Maybe I should try these games on these plays on the field. And he's like trying to make it work. That's what it seems like in these games. There's no creativity or coming up with a play based on film.
Well, and what it comes down to for me is the Chargers have not played a complete game. It's either been a good first half or a good second half. You saw a good first half against teams like the Colts, and having halftime leads against the Lions and the Texans, and then totally imploding in the second half. And then there's other games like the last two where you just get so behind early that you can't come back from it, and had a really stale offensive and defense performance. The Chargers need to get on the same page, and they need to play a full game. I mean, we've seen this defense be dominant in the second halves of both of these last two games at times, yet they still come out so flat. So Gus Bradley has to do something. And the Chargers players mainly just need to stop missing tackles and get off of the field. Because if they can just execute on a couple of early third downs, it makes the defense look so much better and they're out there so much less, and they can save their energy for when they need it later on in the game. But we do have one more voicemail to get into. Now he's pretty much one of my favorite callers, talking about Tim, who also doesn't really have a question. But anytime, Tim, I know you say you're done for the season, but you can come back anytime. Let's see what he has to say this week.
Hey guys, this is Tim again. I called a couple weeks ago after the loss to the Texans. That time I called, I was still really pissed off. Now I've kind of just given up after our two losses to the Broncos in our own house. And then the Steelers back-to-back in our own house. It felt like I was watching the same game over and over again. Anyway, I just wanted to call up, say congratulations to the Rams for winning the Jalen Ramsey sweepstakes. I understand Tommy T was going to make a move for him, but he accidentally tied his shoes together and fell over while he was going for the phone. So the Rams end up with him. Hey, you know, it'd be interesting. Those two want to play together, James and Ramsey's. It's going to be interesting when James's contract comes up, because he's probably going to shoot over there to the Rams also, Tom. What's up with still playing Travis Benjamin? The guy couldn't catch a meatball sub if he was starving to death. It's absolutely ridiculous. And they still got, Lenny and Squeaky playing offensive tackle. And, heck, why don't you call up Richie and Potsy and see if those two are available, because those guys aren't cutting it. Kind of, like I said, giving up on the season. To quote Full Metal Jacket, you know, the Chargers season is like a big shit sandwich, and we're all going to have to take a bite. All right, guys, thanks for the podcast. I enjoy listening to it. But, boy, we're in for a long season, I'm afraid. Later.
Tim says how it is. I can't really disagree with him there. I mean, I guess for Tim, seeing the Travis Benjamin news probably isn't as bad as it is to some others, but at least you'll know that somebody else is going to be trying to catching passes from Phillip Rivers there. But it's hard for me to really go against anything that Tim says there, and I love the way that he says it. As far as giving up on the season, I mean, it's probably too soon to totally do that. I don't blame anyone if they think that the season is over, because I mean, statistically 2-4 is a very hard hole to come out of. And as far as Tom Telesco goes, Did any of us really think that the Chargers were going to make this move? I don't think that any of us really expected it to happen. You keep seeing them rumored around him, but Tom Telesco just doesn't make these big trades, and I understand fans like Tim getting upset about it, getting upset about seeing Travis Benjamin playing 55% of the snaps and dropping footballs, and I get it, Tim, and the Chargers, David, just need to be better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there ever really was a, you know, I never really thought that Tom Telesco was really going to try and trade for Jalen Ramsey. It's just, it goes against who he is and how his fundamental principles as a general manager. He, like you mentioned, he's really all about the draft and he doesn't make big moves like that. So when you hear the Chargers, you know, kind of linked to these big name players, you know, in the trade market, you kind of take it for a grain of salt because like I mentioned, he just doesn't do that. And yeah, you can't fault him for being upset, but yeah, it definitely is too early to give up on the season. That's why they go out there and play the games. I mean, the Chargers have been in similar holes, and you know, you look back at the end of the season and their record looks a whole lot better than it did at that point. So, you know, that's why they go out there and play the games. So we got to see what happens. Obviously not the start that anybody envisioned, but you know, we got to see how the rest of the season unfolds.
We do. I mean, it's too early to come to a verdict on this season. But if you were to, you would say it's been a nightmare. And just every single game that they've played in, they've had a chance to win and they haven't done it. Four out of the six times. So I understand the frustrations. And I always want to keep this platform open for you guys to, you know, come in with these complaints because I get it and we all get it. And I think you're just saying what a lot of other Chargers fans wish they could say surrounding this team. And the one thing I will say, and I don't want to defend Tom Telesco, is we still have to see how these moves all work out for the Rams when everyone's, you know, comparing them getting Jalen Ramsey. I mean, two first round picks and a fourth round pick is so much to get a player like that you're going to have to pay big money to as well. And I think, you know, he is worth the money for sure, but the Chargers keeping him was a long shot to begin with. And I mean, how did the Marcus Peters trade work out for them? I mean, Brandon Cooks has a huge deal now. I don't know if he's living up to that contract. The Rams are doing everything to try to win the Super Bowl right now, but the lasting effects of that, if it doesn't work out, which is kind of a long shot right now at 3-3, we still have yet to see it. So I understand being somewhat conservative, but if there was a time for the Chargers to make a big move, it would be now. And I just unfortunately don't think we're going to see it. But thank you again for everyone that called into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. Again, if you guys want to get your voice on the show, it's 323-524-7924. Thank you guys again, Tim, Pat, Lamb, Lock, Brian, all you guys. I really appreciate it, and we'll keep having this segment going forward. But we do have one more segment to get into where we put our money where our mouth is and figure out what's going to happen in this game this weekend and give our game and bowl predictions coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the week, getting into our game and bowl predictions. But as first, as always, we start off with the all-time series notes with John Kegley giving us everything we need to know about the Chargers versus the Titans. And in this case, John, it's actually an extremely positive all-time series note.
Yeah, I know those are kind of rare when it comes to me announcing these all-time series, but the Chargers have actually done really well against the Titans. It didn't start out like that. I'll say that. It was pretty close there for a while. I believe the Chargers were down in the series like 16-17 or something along those lines. But we have won 11 of the last 12, with one of those being a last-second loss to Jake Locker and the Titans, which was Mike McCoy's third ever game. Who would have thought Mike McCoy's team choked away a game? Could you have guessed that? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that saw it coming. But there's been some pretty fun games that we shouldn't have won that we did in this series, though, as well. Like 2007 in Tennessee, Chargers down 17-3. And they come all the way back to force overtime. And this game is known as LT and OT. Chargers win that game 23-17 in OT. And then we beat them in the playoffs after being down 0-6 and scoring 17 unanswered in the second half in the rain. Just a bunch of fun times in here. Then there's when Junior Seau's number was retired and the Chargers came out and won 38-10. I got a question for you, Wade. Do you remember who scored three touchdowns in that game?
Three touchdowns against the Titans. No, I can't remember.
Dante Rosario, with Jackie Bauer scoring two of them.
Jesus Christ. What a bad time.
But the important game to note is the last time Melvin Gordon played against the Titans, 2016. He went for 196 yards in a Chargers 43-35 win when he ran all over everybody on that Titans defense, breaking tackles, truck sticking, you name it. He was really good in that game. Then last year, of course, almost choking away the game in London with the two-point conversion. We got a nice little fun series here.
We do have a nice fun series, and it's always nicer when the Chargers have actually dominated the series. I loved that Melvin Gordon game. I mean, he was just running over everybody. I also like the LT game in the playoffs where he jumps over the pile into the end zone and the Chargers win that playoff game. I mean, those are times that I really remember against the Titans in two really exciting games. But last year was just basically a heart attack. I mean, having the Mike Vrabel go for two and not getting it in London when the game is on the line, the Chargers definitely caught a break, and they haven't been catching any breaks this season so far. So let's go ahead and do our bold predictions now. Let's start with the defensive side of the ball. David, where are you going defensively for your bold prediction this week?
So Gus Bradley said that Drew Tranquil is going to see some more snaps on the defensive side, and I think that is going to end up with some very positive results. I think Drew Tranquil is going to end the day with 10 tackles and an interception.
I would love to see that from the rookie. And speaking of rookies, I just saw that Daniel Popper said that Gus Bradley said Nazir Adderley will have to start learning to play at 85 to 90% in this league, but he feels like he has to be 100% right now. Well, it looks like we're not going to be seeing Nazir Adderley this week, so my bold prediction will not be centered around him. John, where are you going for your bold prediction this week?
Earlier when we did keys to the game, I mentioned that we will be feasting this week for the defensive line. So I'm going to say the Chargers defense gets about 9 sacks in this game.
9 sacks. Wow.
9 sacks.
Wowza.
I like that. I mean, I think that there's no way it's going to happen, because every time the Chargers get a good matchup and a good offensive line where they can get after the quarterback, it seems like they flail. But I like that. The Chargers need to find their pass rush in this game. They need to get back to the team that can really actually affect other teams' play calling and just really be a menace in the backfield, because right now the secondary is struggling when these guys can't get to the quarterback. So I think that would be huge. I'm going to go with Derrick Henry in this game for my defensive bowl prediction. I think the Chargers did a really good job against him last year, and I think this year is another year where the Chargers are going to have a good game against Derrick Henry. He's pretty much been boom or bust. I think that he's bust again in this game. I think after really struggling against the run, the Chargers are going to give up less than 40 rushing yards to Derrick Henry, and I think he's going to get it a lot. So I think the Chargers bottle up Derrick Henry. I mean, if you're betting on the Chargers tackling, it doesn't get much more bold than that. But we do have offensive side of the ball to get to. So, John, offensively, who do you want to go with your bold prediction this week?
I'm going to go pretty bold here. So last time Melvin Gordon played the Titans, as earlier mentioned, he almost went for 200 yards. I'm going to go Melvin Gordon 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game.
Jesus Christ. I wish. I hope. No way. David, where are you going offensively?
I mean, first of all, I got to say, I love that, and I really hope I do see it. I mean, that would be great. But my offensive bold prediction is going to be around Phillip Rivers. After two pretty kind of embarrassing games, I think he's going to come back and show everybody that he can still sling the ball down the field. I think Phillip Rivers goes 350 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I like that. Phillip Rivers needs a nice bounce-back game as well. I went with Keenan Allen last week thinking he could have a bounce back game, but that didn't really work out. So this week I'm going to go with Mike Williams. I think we've seen the Chargers start to target Mike Williams more. He had 10 targets last week, ends up with only catching 5 of them for 74 yards. I mean, still ends up looking like a pretty good game, but I think Mike Williams is going to start converting more of those targets. He had the big catch that he missed last week trying to readjust to a deep ball. He could not bring it in. I think this week Mike Williams gets back into the action and back into the end zone, which would be for the first time this season. I think Mike Williams is going to go 7 catches for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns in this one. I think it's the return of the big Mike Williams, and I think he has a really good game this week against a pretty good secondary.
Well, last year he had a 75 yarder or something on the very first play, so could we see that again, Wade?
Yeah, I know. It was his longest touchdown of his career, so I think that you could potentially not see that. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to be getting the breakaway long touchdowns, especially as it seems like every week he's a little bit banged up. But I can only hope so, because that was the only way the Chargers moved the ball last year offensively without Melvin Gordon, was the big plays. A big play to Tyrell Williams, a big play to Mike Williams. that's basically the game there. And you don't have Tyrell Williams this time. So hopefully Keenan Allen can get more involved as well. But it's time to get into the game predictions. David, who are you picking this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm usually Mr. Optimistic, but I am definitely a fan scorned at this point. But for the Chargers to win this game, they need to get the pass rush. I mean, in any game that the Titans have given up more than four sacks, they have lost the game, and they have given up over 20 sacks in their four losses. So that is definitely a recipe for success. Also, if you keep this team to 17 points, then you're going to win. They have not scored more than 17 points in any of their losses. So those are your keys for me for success. Unfortunately, the Chargers are going to have to prove it to me. So I don't think they're going to win this game. I think they're going to lose 21-17.
All right, 21-17. I mean, it's hard to blame you at this point. I mean, you pick the Chargers to beat a winless Broncos team, and you pick the Chargers to win a one-win Steelers team with your third-string quarterback. I don't know how you can feel confident in any vote for the Chargers to win this game. I think the Chargers really struggle when they go up against any defense that is anywhere around the top 10 defensively in the league. The Chargers just have struggled against good defenses, period. I think Phillip Rivers has another tough day in this one, and I think the Chargers are always just a couple of mistakes away from losing a game, and I think that's what happens this year. Last year, the Chargers end up getting lucky, and the Titans missed the two-point conversion. This year, I think the luck goes the other way because that's how it's gone the other way all season. I'm going to say Titans 24, Chargers 23. John, where are you going this week?
The Chargers have dominated the Titans for the past 12 matchups, winning 11 of the 12. This week, I think that continues, and I'm going to say we win this game. That's right, you heard it. I said we're going to win this game 24-16. For those of you that are not used to hearing me say that, I can say it in a different language for you. Los Chargers vencerán a los Titans 24-16. Mike.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, I don't know what Spanish has to do with Tennessee, but hey, hopefully Phillip Rivers can go to, you know, the closest NFL football team to his hometown, which is, I think he said it was 117 miles away, and he can get it done there. I think he's 2-1 in that stadium against the Titans. I hope you're right. I just cannot pick them to win at this point. I'm switching it up. I hope it switches things up for the Chargers and they can pull out a victory this week, because obviously they desperately need it, and pretty much every game feels like a must-win game if you want to get back in the playoff hunt. So that is going to wrap things up for the week. We will be back with you guys next week. Hopefully the Chargers can get back on track. Hopefully we see Russell Okung play this weekend and Melvin Ingram as well. They will be big boosts for the Chargers. But if you guys don't already, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to be like everyone this week and get on the Locked On Chargers voicemail line, call into 323-524-7924. Make sure to call us this weekend after the game, guys, and give us your thoughts. But we will be back with you guys next week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.